Chapter 8. Nero. I was going out of my mind waiting to hear what Kendall decided. I had invited him back to Snowtip Falls. Everyone I ever knew was there. If he was with me, I knew I wouldn't be able to hide how much I liked him, and they would see it. And what would my mother say? She had no problem with Cage and Quinn, but she had been introduced to them as a package. If she wanted to have her son back, she was going to have to accept both of them. Now, I wonder if she likes Quinn more than me. But unlike the two of them, my mom has known me my entire life. I've never given her or anyone reason to believe I could be into guys. This was going to be a complete surprise to her. And what would everyone else I knew say? I didn't exactly hang with the most enlightened people. Things could turn bad quickly. I knew I could shut anyone up who stepped out of line, but that didn't mean it wouldn't bother me. At the same time, I was helpless to Kendall. I could barely breathe when I was around him. All I could think about was holding him and pushing myself into him with my arms wrapped around his chest and my lips on his neck. I've never been more turned on by someone in my life. That could have been what was behind my recent play. Or maybe it was that I now had a reason to leave it all on the field. I wanted to impress Kendall. I wanted him to see that being with me would be worth it no matter how fucked up I am. But hell, maybe that was just a dream. Maybe I was too fucked up for anybody. Meeting Kendall had made me hope that I was wrong. I was willing to risk everything to be with him. All I needed was for him to text me back and give me that chance. I was starting to think that Kendall was going to ghost me when a picture appeared in our text thread. It was of him and Quinn standing in front of what looked like a human-sized moonshine jug. Nothing about the picture made sense. I knew he and Quinn had hit it off. But when did they start hanging out together? And why was there a giant moonshine jug in Quinn's living room? How much of that moonshine did you two drink? I wrote back.
Well, we had to empty the bottle, so...
I was still very confused. Do you need someone to walk you home? Because I'm close. A picture was the next thing to appear. This time the two of them were pretending to be drunk as they drank out of the jug. They were clearly having a good time. You know that stuff will make you go blind, right? A combination of random letters and semicolons was all he wrote back. I laughed. Seriously, do you need me to come over? I'm 5 minutes away.
No, we're good. I just wanted to show you the costume we made for the Moonshine Festival this weekend.
The Moonshine Festival?
You know about it?
Know about it? I've been roped into helping set it up. You coming, by the way?
Quinn said they have a spare bedroom I could stay in.
Reading that, my chest clenched. I had hoped he would want to sleep in my bed. There were a whole lot of things I wanted to do to him. They do. You should come. Those three dots danced on the screen for what felt like forever.
Okay.
Yes! I screamed, causing Titus to look over. Got some good news? It wasn't bad, I told him, unable to wipe the smile off my face. Are you going to Dr. Sonia's festival this weekend? I'll be there. I paused, not sure how to bring it up. And, you remember Kendall? From after the game? Yeah, he's coming too, I said nervously. Is he? Well, that's great. I liked him. Maybe you can get Lou to come. I asked him. He has a date this weekend. He dates a lot, doesn't he? He does. I didn't realize there were so many gay guys at East Tennessee. There aren't. When he can't find one, he converts them, Titus said with a bite. That bother you? Why would it bother me? Titus asked, playing dumb. I stared at him, wondering if I was going to keep dancing around what was going on between the two of them. Look, if you like him, I think you're going to need to step up and tell him. I don't like him. I mean, I like him. We're good friends. But I don't like him like that. Huh. Well, I guess it's a good thing you don't. Because if you did, hearing he's going on yet another date might drive you up the wall. Imagine all the things he does with these guys. Imagine them holding hands. Imagine them kissing. Then, when they invite him back to their place, he's a virgin, Titus said, cutting me off. What? Yeah. He said he dates a lot, but he doesn't go any further than that. He wants to wait for the right guy. Was he looking at you when he said it? What do you mean if he was looking at me? He was talking to me. Of course he was. I stared at him, wondering how long he was going to play this game. Okay, whatever. I just think if you feel something for someone, you need to tell them no matter how chicken shit you are. You tell Kendall that? He asked, throwing it back in my face. I'm going to tell him this weekend, I said, coming out to the guy I was going to see every single day. I guess it was official. There was no turning back now. Good for you, Titus said, looking at me with admiration. That's awesome. He seemed really nice. I like you two together. Thanks, I told him, filling with relief. Not having a game this weekend, Kendall and I made arrangements to meet at Quinn's room so the three of us could drive to Snowtip Falls together. So neither of you thought about how to get it through the door when you were deciding how big it will be? I asked, staring at the 4-foot-wide jug costume. Kendall and Quinn looked at each other. It was the cutest thing ever. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Quinn, you're going to take all the pictures you want with it looking as perfect as it does right now.
And then?
Quinn asked nervously. Then we're going to get it through the door.
Oh no, we put so much work into it,
Quinn moaned.
I haven't made anything like this before.
Then maybe next time, you two will make something smaller than the door frame you need to get it through. Weren't you supposed to be a genius or something? I teased. Quinn's head dropped. I don't know why, but that might have taken things too far. I put my hand on his shoulder. Look, I got you. We both got you. Right, Kendall?
Of course we got you, Quinn. I just wanted Cage to see it at its best.
And he will. In the pictures, I said, teasing him again. Quinn's mood lightened, allowing him to laugh about it. I did the same. But when I looked over at Kendall, I caught him staring at me with a big grin. What?
Nothing,
he said before turning his attention to the costume. I didn't know what he was thinking, but I liked the way he looked thinking it. He really was the sexiest guy ever. Damn, did I want to kiss him again. After taking more pictures than a tourist at Tennessee's biggest ball of yarn, Quinn put his camera away and we got to work. Having made it strong enough to trap a bobcat, the only way we could get it through the door was to bend it. When we got it to my truck and bent it back, it was more oval than round. It's a moonshine festival. If people are sober enough to notice it's a little off, then we got bigger issues, I told a sad Quinn. As much as I liked being alone with Kendall, having Quinn with us for the drive to Snowtip Falls helped. The two of them got along like best friends. I was a little jealous. But just when I thought they forgot I was here, Kendall touched my thigh. I had never gotten hard so fast in my life. I turned to him wondering what he was suggesting. He wasn't looking at me. It was like he just wanted to tell me he hadn't forgotten about me. I was going to take it because I certainly hadn't forgotten about him. But by the time we were pulling up to our new home, Kendall and I were introducing Quinn to Tennessee drinking songs. Were we singing loud enough to wake people as we drove by? Probably. But there's only one way to sing a drinking song, and it ain't quietly under your breath.
Is this your house?
Kendall asked, staring through the windshield in awe.
Yeah,
Quinn replied bashfully.
It's amazing. Thanks.
Yep, there was no getting around it. The place was impressive. I wondered what Kendall would say when he saw where we were moving out of. I hadn't been embarrassed about my place growing up because I didn't have the time to be. I was too busy figuring out how to pay the rent. But I saw the neighborhood the kids from his school lived in. None of those homes were on wheels. Sure, none of the homes in our trailer park were either. But that was because no one there could afford them.
Nero, after we get the costume inside, you should show Kendall around.
Kendall turned to me excitedly.
Cool.
Is Mama here? I asked Quinn, wondering how stressful my night was going to be.
We special ordered her bed. It's arriving tomorrow. She won't move in until then.
I was relieved. It would give Kendall and me a night to get used to whatever was going on. Once we moved the costume into the garage and said hi to Cage, that was what we did. They told me that this would be my room, I said, guiding him in and onto the bed.
Nice,
he said, looking around at the empty space. We're getting my stuff tomorrow, but I'm not sure how much of it I want to bring with me. Maybe it's better to let most of it stay in the past.
You can't beat a fresh start.
Yeah. I stared into Kendall's soft, chocolate eyes. It was like he was asking me to pull him into my arms and never let him go. But as soon as I slipped my hand on his, he stood up.
So, where's the room I'll be staying in?
He asked, grabbing his backpack. I considered suggesting that he stay with me, but changed my mind. I wanted him to feel comfortable here. And if he needed to sleep somewhere else to do that, I would give that to him. Next door, I'll show you. Allowing him to drop off his stuff, he told me that he would meet me downstairs and then close the door behind me. How could I not take that as a rejection? He may as well have said, "Don't let the doorknob hit you on the way out." I was starting to think this weekend wasn't going to go like I hoped it would. "Where's Kendall?" Cage asked when I joined him and Quinn at the kitchen island. "He's in his room. He said he'll be down soon." "So, how's it going between you two?" Cage asked. I nodded my head and tightened my lips instead of answering. The truth was, I didn't know. "You guys got anything to drink?" I asked, checking the cabinets. "First of all, it's do we have anything to drink?" my brother said, referring to the three of us. "And second, of course," he said before pointing me to a lower cabinet. I opened it and stared at the sorry selection. "You know this ain't gonna do, right? You want more? You go buy it," Cage joked.
"No, I'll stock it up," Quinn volunteered.
"Now, why aren't you more like your boyfriend? Not all of us can be perfect," he said, grabbing Quinn and kissing him.
"I don't know who you're talking about, but I know it's not me," Quinn protested.
"Of course it's you. It's always you," Cage said, being so cute with Quinn that I wanted to puke. "Where the hell is Kendall?" I asked, not able to take it anymore. As soon as I said it, Kendall walked in as if he was waiting at the door. "There you are," I said, not able to stop myself from smiling. "Drink?"
"My God, yes,"
he said, joining me and pointing out what he wanted. Once a drink started flowing, things between Kendall and me got less awkward. Sitting at the island as Cage made dinner, the conversation was nonstop and pretty great. When we were done, Kendall and I cleaned up and then joined my brothers in the living room. They had bought a second set of games for the house, and Kendall and I challenged Cage and Quinn to a game of wavelength. The object was to come up with a word that would get your teammate to turn a dial to a certain area without seeing it. It was basically testing which of them was on the same wavelength. Cage and Quinn crushed it, but considering how well we did against the perfect couple, neither Kendall nor I felt bad. "We're gonna head to bed. We have to do a lot tomorrow. Don't forget that after we move, we have to help Dr. Sonia set up for Sunday." "Got it," I told Cage, waving him off. When they were gone, I turned to Kendall. God, did he look sexy. "So, how about you? What do you want to do?" He stared at me for a moment and smiled.
"I think I'll head to bed too."
"You sure? I could think of a few other things," I said with a smile.
"I'm sure you could. Maybe next time, slugger,"
he said before leaning over, kissing me on the lips, and walking away. I barely knew what to do with myself for the rest of the night. Deciding to go to bed, I stared at the wall, knowing he was on the other side of it. I tossed and turned restlessly before I took things into my own hands and relieved some of my stress. It was only then that I could think warm thoughts of Kendall and slowly drift to sleep. I woke up early the next morning, not being able to stay away from Kendall for very long. Lying in bed, I stared at the wall separating us. Was he awake, staring back? If he was asleep, what was he dreaming of? Way too antsy to stay in bed, I pulled on a pair of shorts and left my room. His door was still closed. Convincing myself not to knock, I headed downstairs, finding Cage and Quinn in the kitchen. "Morning," Cage said, as if he had been awake for hours. "Morning.
How'd you sleep?"
Quinn asked.
"Was the bed comfortable? We debated about how soft it should be. Cage said you wouldn't care."
"He doesn't know how uncomfortable the bed back at the old place is," Cage told me. "Yeah, anything would be an upgrade from that," I agreed, trying not to take my brother's criticism personally. "But it was all we could afford, you know." "Hey, for a place that was being paid for by a 14-year-old, it's amazing. I still can't believe you're able to do it," Cage told me. "But it's not just you anymore. We're all in this together, and now we have a new home." "Yeah," I said half-heartedly. I knew Cage was trying to make me feel like this was my place too, and I appreciated it. But it wasn't. I didn't think it could ever be. It was too big of a leap from a place I could afford. You could fit the mobile home in it multiple times. It was too different from everything I've ever known. How could I not feel like a guest?
"Is Kendall still sleeping?"
Quinn asked. "I guess. He took the guest bedroom."
"Oh, Cage was wondering if he should start making breakfast. Do you know whether he's a late sleeper?"
"I wish I knew that type of information," I said, hoping that I would know it soon. "Okay, I'll give it a few minutes and then get started. It'll take a while in either case. Maybe he'll be up by then."
"While you do that, I'm going to take a shower,"
Quinn said, kissing Cage before he left. When Quinn left, I looked at Cage. I tried to think of the last time the two of us were alone together. The only times I saw him nowadays was when he came to campus and stayed with Quinn, or when I drove Quinn up for the weekend. I loved Quinn, but I kind of missed spending time alone with my brother. How's work going?
Good. I'm loving working with the kids. I keep trying to figure out when I can invite you to a game, but you either have practice or classes.
Cage refilled his coffee cup and offered me some. Please. And things have been good with Mama? After he handed me a cup, he joined me at the island.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen her. She's even been talking about going back to work.
She told me. It's amazing. Where was this woman when I was a kid? She was doing her best. Don't defend her. You weren't there. You don't know what it was like, I said. I wasn't upset, but there was no way I wanted to listen to him make excuses for her while only seeing her good side.
Sorry.
You ever wonder about our father, Cage?
Of course. You know I do.
Quinn tell you what he decided?
What he decided?
Yeah. I had asked him to help me figure out who he was, and he told me that I might not want to know.
What does that mean?
I don't know. He's your boyfriend. Cage's gaze dipped as he thought about it. What if our father is someone really awful, Cage? Like, what if the reason Mama doesn't want to talk about it is because if we knew, it would explain why I'm so screwed up?
I don't know, Nero, but do you think we need to know? I mean, we have Mama. We have each other. Maybe that's enough.
Quinn thought you'd say that.
Did he?
Yeah, but I don't know if it's enough for me. It's like a missing piece in my life. All I can ever think about is why our father wasn't around. Was it because he didn't know I existed? Would he want to know? Did he know and not care? And why was it that Mama refused to talk about it? What is so bad about me that she can't bring herself to say?
Have you ever asked her?
A new voice said from the kitchen doorway. I turned to find Kendall. How much had he heard?
Oh, hey, you're up?
Yeah, I've been up for a bit. But I heard what you were saying to Cage. Sorry, there's a bit of an echo in here.
The rest of the furniture should be delivered in a couple of days, Cage explained.
You heard everything we were saying?
I asked.
Just the part at the end about you needing to know about your father.
I lowered my head. I didn't have a problem telling Kendall stuff, which was amazing considering. But admitting what I had to anyone other than someone in the same boat was pretty hard. I've been asking my mother about my father my entire life. She's never been wanting to say anything about it. Kendall entered the kitchen and stood within arm's reach.
Did you tell her how important the information is to you?
I looked at Cage, not sure how to respond. I wasn't ready to tell Kendall that Mama had gone insane for a few years and hadn't given a shit what was important to me. I think she knew, I told him.
She might have, but sometimes saying the words changes things.
Maybe, I said, thinking about the words I would use when I told him how I felt about him.
It might help. And if you need any help with it, I could talk to her. I haven't met your mother yet, but sometimes it's easier to talk to a stranger.
I didn't think anything he said would work, but I thought it was sweet of him to offer. I took his forearm in my hand. His smooth skin glided under my slowly circling thumb. I appreciate you offering, but maybe you should meet my mother first. Kendall's confidence quickly vanished.
Yeah, of course. I didn't mean to.
You didn't do anything wrong, I said, cutting him off. It's just that our mother was dealing with stuff as I was growing up, so she wasn't much for talking. She's doing a lot better now, so maybe things are different. Hell, maybe if I asked her again now, she'd tell me.
You never know,
Kendall encouraged. You never know, I agreed. Cage spoke up.
You know how I feel about this, but Kendall could be right. Sometimes it's easier to talk to a stranger.
I'd be more than happy to.
I turned to Kendall. He looked like he really wanted to do this for me. If it comes up, but please, Kendall, don't push it.
Of course. Only if the moment's right, he said with an excited smile.
I stared at Kendall, trying to figure out why something like this would make him happy. But it did. There was still a lot about him I didn't know. He was like a gift I couldn't wait to unwrap.
I'll get started on breakfast, Cage said, leaving the two of us.
He was probably starting to feel uncomfortable. I was staring at Kendall pretty hard, and he was staring back at me just as much. God damn, did I want to kiss him. And when he suddenly lifted his hand and rubbed a finger across my naked chest, I almost lost it. I leaned forward to reach his lips when he pulled away from me. What was he doing? You couldn't tease a snake like that. You were going to get bit. To make his point further, he joined Cage and offered to help him with breakfast. I didn't chase after him because my dick was too hard. I couldn't get up. Instead, I watched him cross the kitchen, collecting the ingredients, as my brother whipped up a feast. Kendall was fitting right in. There was something sexy about that made me want him even more. After eating way too many pancakes and bacon, Kendall joined me as I cleaned up. When we were done, we all got dressed and got ready to do some packing. Cage and I drove separate trucks to our old place. The first thing I was going to have to do once I got there was introduce my mama to Kendall. It was freaking me out a little bit. Parking, I felt like I was getting ready to play a big game. My heart was pounding. There were no stopping things now. I didn't know what I was going to say. How was I even going to introduce Kendall? As much as I wanted him to be, he wasn't my boyfriend. But just calling him a friend didn't seem right either. Kendall must have picked up on my anxiety because before we got out of the truck, he took my hand and squeezed it.
"You can do this," he told me.
"Do what?"
"I don't know. Whatever it is that got you so stressed."
"My mother doesn't know I'm into guys. I know that we aren't anything yet."
"We're something,"
he said, cutting me off.
"What are we?" "We're friends."
"Just friends? Because the things I want to do to you aren't the things I want to do with someone who's just a friend." I waited, wondering if what I had admitted would freak him out. I expected him to tell me we were nothing at all.
"We're good friends,"
he said with a smile. "You know I wouldn't mind us being more, right? I really like you, Kendall. I've never liked someone so much." I stared at him. I had poured out my heart. Why wasn't he saying anything? He said, fading off. "I helped Mama pack most of her stuff yesterday," Cage said, approaching my window. "We'll donate most of the kitchen supplies to Goodwill. Mama's okay with it. But if there's anything with sentimental value, you should get it now." I didn't know if Cage had saved me from hearing Kendall tell me that he wasn't interested or not, so I wasn't going to complain about his interruption. "You got it, bro," I said, gazing into Kendall's eyes for a moment longer. "You ready to meet my mama?" For the first time, Kendall looked nervous.
"Yeah."
Catching up with Cage and Quinn as they entered, we poured into the space, proving once again that our family had outgrown the place. "Hey, mama," Cage and Quinn said, with each of them kissing her. "Mama, I want you to meet someone," I told her, trying to breathe. She turned to me. Her eyes quickly jumped to Kendall. "This is Kendall. He's someone very special to me, mama." Mama looked at Kendall.
"Is this your boyfriend?"
she asked, taking things further than I expected. "No, but I'm hoping one day," I said, not realizing how much I was putting Kendall on the spot. Mama got up and approached Kendall.
"It's very nice to meet you, Kendall,"
she said before offering him a hug. That stunned me. She barely gave me hugs. I couldn't remember the last time she had given me one. I was beginning to realize that I didn't know who my mother was. For most of my life, she had been the woman on the couch mindlessly staring at the TV. Was this who she had been before whatever it was that had changed her?
"It's nice to meet you too," Kendall said, hugging her back. "Are you excited about moving?"
Mama let him go.
"Oh yes, very excited."
"This place hasn't been so bad, has it, Mama?" I asked, feeling a bit of a sting.
"This place has been our home, but it's time to put this part of our life behind us. We could all use a fresh start, don't you think?"
she asked, squeezing my hand with a smile. Although I didn't answer her, I knew she wasn't wrong. It was time for all of us to move on. What did that mean in my case? How much of my future involved Snowtip Falls? If I declared for the draft, I could end up on a team on the other side of the country. Was I really going to return here in the off season?
"What here do you want me to pack?"
Kendall asked when we retreated to my room. I looked around at the space that was barely bigger than my bed. Anything that had meant something to me, I had brought with me to my dorm. "I think I'm going to throw it all out." Kendall turned to me surprised.
"Everything?"
"Yeah." He looked all around, pulled a yearbook from a shelf, and flipped through it.
"Even this stuff?"
"Get rid of everything. Mama's right. It's time for a fresh start." I don't know why, but Kendall rubbed my back and rested his head on my shoulder. I wasn't complaining. It felt nice. I wanted more of it, but I was pretty sure he was doing it because he thought the junk around me meant more to me than it did. What I saw when I looked around was the place I returned to the time I got my face bashed in after being caught stealing, or the room where I cried my eyes out when my mother stopped speaking for a month. I had been terrified she would never speak again. "They can burn this shit as far as I'm concerned," I told him, grabbing a handful of crap and tossing it into a box. Once I decided that, packing took no time at all. "Where's the pile for the dump?" I asked, pushing out all four boxes. "All of it?" Cage asked. "Everything." Cage looked behind me at Kendall. I turned around in time to see Kendall shrug. I didn't know what to make of the two of them, but it rubbed me the wrong way. You guys need any help packing up the rest of this shit? We're getting through it okay, Cage explained. Was there any of this that you wanted to keep? No, I don't think my lucky spatula is in there, I told him, feeling done with the place. If you don't need us anymore, I think we'll take off. I'm going to show Kendall a bit of the town. Are you still planning on helping Dr. Sonya set up for the festival? Cage asked. Yeah, I'll head over this afternoon.
Quinn, are you going to need help with the costume?
Kendall asked.
Not today. I'm good. You two have a good time. Snowtip Falls is beautiful this time of year. You'll love it, Kendall.
Quinn said with a smile.
Hiking the falls was one of our first dates.
And then you fell through the ice and we had to rush you to the doctor, Cage said with a laugh.
Oh, right. I forgot that. Whatever you do, Kendall, don't walk on the ice in someone's footsteps,
Quinn said with a smile. Kendall looked at me confused.
Are we going to be walking on ice?
Don't pay any attention to him. I was just a city boy learning a little backwoods lesson, I teased. We'll catch up with y'all later. I'll take these boxes to your truck. After Kendall and I carried the last of my old life out, we got into my truck and took off.
So where are you taking me to?
How do you feel about hiking?
Well, I'm wearing my hiking boots, he said with a smile.
I looked at his feet and saw he was wearing his usual black Doc Martens. You been hiking before? I asked, confused.
Hiking? When have I not gone hiking?
He said sarcastically. You've never been hiking, have you?
In my defense, hiking gets you all sweaty.
And?
It gets you all sweaty. That's enough.
I laughed. Well, there are places I want to show you, but it might require you to get sweaty to get there.
So you want me to get all hot and sweaty with you? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying, I said, loving his suggestion.
We'll see tonight. Until then, how about you show me this place you're excited about?
He said with a flirtatious smile. You sure you could take it? The hike, I mean.
You'll just have to take it easy on me because it's my first time.
I paused, wondering what he was referring to. Wait, you've never hiked before?
Never. Have you?
I grew up here, so I've hiked a few times. But I've never hiked with someone like you before, I told him, hoping we were still talking about the same thing.
So if we hiked together, it would be the first time for both of us?
Yeah, I guess. But I've thought about hiking with someone like you plenty, and you're the type of guy I'd like to hike with for the rest of my life.
How would you know? We haven't even hiked for the first time yet.
Because I've never wanted to hike with someone more. Kendall stared at me.
I just want to be sure. We're both talking about sex, right?
I was.
So you've never been with a guy before?
No, but the thought of being with you, it keeps me up at night. Kendall slid closer to me on the bench seat and put his hand on my thigh. He looked at me for only a second and then returned his gaze ahead of us.
I'd love to see whatever you want to show me,
he said, turning a shade of pink as he did.
But in time,
he clarified. When you're ready.
Thank you,
he said, moving his body against mine and getting comfortable. With him next to me, I was tempted to never stop driving. I loved the feeling of his touch. Unable to resist, I wrapped my arm around him, pulling him even closer. Just the smell of it made me hard. I also wondered if he would start kissing me again. He didn't. This time, we drove together as if he were already my boyfriend. I wasn't sure why he kept touching me like he liked me, yet would never say anything when I told him how much I liked him. Maybe he was hesitant, but he was gay. Why would he be the hesitant one when I was the one who had to step off a cliff to be with him? I didn't know, but whatever I had to, I was willing to do it to be with him. And if that meant taking things slow, then I was good with that. Maybe good was the wrong word, but I would do it. Deciding that I wanted to show him more than just a beautiful hike, we drove out of town for 30 minutes. When we pulled over, it was at the edge of a lake. We're here. Kendall peeled himself off my chest and sat up.
Where are we?
We're the furthest I'd ever been from home before I went to East Tennessee University. Kendall gave me a confused look and then scanned the lake more intensely. I was fine to stay in the truck and look at it from here, but he got out. Joining him, I could tell there was something on his mind. What is it? I asked, guessing what he would say.
This is the furthest you had ever been.
Yep.
Did you come here fishing?
Nope.
Then what brought you?
He said, moving in front of me. I looked at him, then stared at the lake. It had been a long time since the last time I was here. The memory of it made me uneasy, but I had always known it was something I would have to deal with. I know my mother seems fine now, but when I was a kid, there was a time when she shut down.
Oh no.
I looked at Kendall. I appreciated his sympathy. Yeah, she stopped working. Eventually, she stopped paying rent. When the rent collector would come sniffing around, we would pretend we weren't home. But one day he caught me and told me if we didn't pay by the end of the week, we would be out. I told Mama, but it was like she didn't hear me. It probably made her slip away even further. But knowing I was the one who would have to do something, at the end of the week, I went to find him. I explained to him that I didn't have the money, but I was willing to do whatever I had to pay the rent. He looked me over and then told me he could give me a job to work off our debt. Desperate, I agreed. It turned out that our trailer park wasn't the only one he owned, and he hated having to collect the rent. He said that my job would be to collect the money people owed him, and I was supposed to get it no matter what. Kendall took my hand. Maybe he knew where my story was going. The first person he told me to collect on, I did what I was told. I ended up having to track down when the guy was home. When he was, I went over and banged on his door. I felt awful for doing it. I know how this guy felt, but I screamed at him to give me what he owed the guy. The only thing he said was for me to go fuck myself. What was I supposed to do? I tried. He wouldn't give it to me, so I went back and told my landlord what happened. When I was done, he walked up, looked down at me, and slapped me across the face. He hit me so hard he knocked me to the ground.
Oh no.
Climbing on top of me, he started punching me. I didn't know what was going on. I hadn't even been in a fight before, and he was a big guy. His rings were cutting into my face. When he was done, he got off me and said, "You want your ass to be out on the street? You want your mama to start whoring herself to take care of you? Because I'll take it that way just as easy." I screamed, "Fuck you." I kept screaming, "Fuck you." "Then you go back there and collect my fucking rent," he said. "And don't you fucking come back until you have it, you hear me?" I knew what his beating was. It was a lesson. He was teaching me what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to collect the money or beat them senseless until I got it. I wasn't going to do that. I couldn't. So instead of returning home, I ran. I thought if I could get far enough away, I wouldn't have to worry about anything anymore. So I kept running and running. I didn't know where I was going, but eventually I ended up here, looking out at that. I pointed at the lake.
"Why did you stop?" Kendall asked.
"It was cold and I couldn't figure out how to get around it. I knew which direction I was heading in, but I didn't know how big the lake was. I ended up sleeping under a tree because I couldn't decide what to do next. When I woke up was when I considered what would happen to my mama if I kept going. She had nobody and could barely take care of herself. Maybe he would make her whore herself to keep living there. I imagined him sending men where we lived and them doing things to her. I couldn't let that happen. I had to protect her from that."
"So what did you do?"
"I went back. I didn't even go home. I walked right back to the man who owed the guy rent. This time I didn't knock. I broke the door in. Finding him hiding in the back room, I did what I had been taught to do. I beat him until he gave me everything he had. Taking it, I told him when I would be back for the rest. When I gave it to the guy, he was impressed. And at that exact time I told the man I would be back, I went and collected the rest. My mother and I didn't have to pay rent after that. I just had to make sure that everyone else paid their rent, and I did." When I was done with my story, Kendall looked at me stunned.
"How old were you?"
14. When I said it, he burst into tears. He didn't say anything more. He just wrapped his arms around me and cried. I thought I could tell him this and let it go. I had needed to get the story off my chest. It wasn't something I felt comfortable telling Cage, and until now, I didn't have anyone else. But I hadn't expected all the tears. Hearing Kendall whimper made me consider why he was. I had never allowed myself to think it was a big deal, but there was no escaping it now. The man holding me was telling me how big of a deal it was. He was right, and the more I realized it, the less I could hold myself together. Listening to him cry, I slowly broke down. All of the pain I had been running from rushed to the surface. It was like a dam had broken. I couldn't turn off the waterworks. Eventually, the weight of it brought me to my knees. Still not saying anything, Kendall kept holding me. It just made me cry more. I didn't want to hurt all of those people, I tried to tell Kendall. I was just a kid.
You were just a kid,
Kendall repeated.
You had no other options. You were just protecting the person you loved.
My heart burst, realizing that Kendall understood. I didn't think anyone would forgive me for the horrible things I had done, but Kendall did. And for the first time, I felt that maybe I wasn't alone. It took a long time for either of us to stop crying. Once we did, we sat quietly for an hour. When my butt became sore, I thought about my promise to help Dr. Sonia set up for the festival. I wasn't sure I was in the mood for it. I had told everyone I would, though. So, gathering my strength, I cleared my throat. "We should go back," I told Dr. Sonia.
"We don't have to. We can stay here as long as you'd like."
"No, I said I would. Besides, I think I'm losing feeling in my ass," I told him, shifting and making a face. Kendall tried to resist and then laughed.
"I lost feeling in my butt 30 minutes ago. I don't think I can move my legs," he said humorously. "Didn't you say something about hiking? You didn't warn me about sitting on the ground. I don't have nearly enough padding for that."
"Hey, I like your ass. Don't you be talking bad about it," I said with a smile.
"Then you can have it. I would much prefer to have yours."
"Don't you go tempting me like that unless you mean it."
"You know what I meant," he said with a smile.
"Yes, I do. That's why I was warning you." Kendall looked at me with a playful frustration and fought his way to his feet. He was as shaky as a fawn walking for the first time. It was adorable. "All right, come here," I told him, picking him up and carrying him.
"That's okay. I got it."
"No, no. If you're going to listen to my long story and sit there while I cry about it, the least I could do is carry you to the truck." Giving in, Kendall wrapped his arms around my neck and relaxed.
"If you insist."
"I do," I said, looking into his big brown eyes. As I looked at him, he reached up and kissed me. It wasn't a long one, and when I tried to make it longer, he leaned back. Carrying him, I had no way of reconnecting with his lips. Placing him on the passenger side of the truck, he scooted away from me. I was starting to believe that he was teasing me on purpose. Driving back to town, Kendall explained how much my experience had shaped my life.
"I think that's why you destroyed the car. It's because at a young age, you learned that violence is the solution to all your problems."
"Isn't it, though? Violence paid my rent. Not only that, it got me my football scholarship. And wasn't it my violent tendency that won you? Let's face it, violence is what gave me everything that means anything to me." He paused. I had him. At least I thought I did.
"It's not your violence that got you your scholarship. I've seen you play. You've gotten what you have because you're good and you're fast. How many hours have you spent working on that? It was your hard work that got you that."
"What about you? Wasn't it what I did to that asshole that got you to think about football players differently?" He was quiet again. "It's okay if it did. I'm used to it."
"But I don't want you to be. I don't want you to think that that's the way to solve your problems. You smashed up a car. Look where that got you."
"Smashing up that car got me sitting here now next to you," I said with a smile. I was very happy to have won this debate, but not as much as Kendall hated losing it. "Kendall?
Don't talk to me."
"Come on now, don't be like that. You can't always win an argument."
"You think I care about winning an argument?"
"It really seems like it from where I'm sitting," I said, unable to contain a smile. He looked at me frustrated.
"Well, I don't.
He yelled, getting upset. All right, no need to get away about it."
"You don't understand. If you think the way to solve every problem is with violence, what happens the day I become the problem you have to solve? Will you do to me what you did to Evan?"
"What? No. Why would you even think that?"
"Isn't that what you were saying? Weren't you saying that you have a violent nature and that violence got you everything important to you?"
My face went white hearing these words. I felt like throwing up. The only thing I could do was pull over and shut off the truck. I turned to him quickly, and he flinched. He thought I was going to hit him or something. As soon as I realized it, I raced out of the truck and emptied my breakfast into the weeds. The retching didn't stop. Every time I thought it was done, I would picture him flinching away from me, and I would dry heave again. Eventually, Kendall came over.
"Are you all right?"
"I would never do anything like that to you," I told him in the middle of convulsions. "Never. You gotta believe me. I wouldn't."
"Okay, I believe you,"
he said, kneeling next to me and rubbing my back.
"I'm sorry I let you do what you did to Evan. I can see now that I wasn't helping you by letting you do it."
"I did it, not you. You didn't let me do anything."
"I gave you his address. I practically drove you there and sicked you on him. It was just that I was so angry."
"So now you know how I felt," I said, looking at him. "When I act like I do, it's because I get so angry. But I know that one day you're not going to find someone to beat me up no matter what stupid thing I do. Just like there's nothing I would ever do to hurt you."
"But how do I know that?"
he asked sincerely. "You're going to have to trust me."
"For me, trust is hard," he explained. "It's not like guys like you have given me any reason to."
and it's not like anyone in my life has given me a reason to trust them, but I'm willing to trust you. I don't know why, but I am. I'm asking you to do the same.